See, this is what we do here. We serve each other. We help each other out. That's what the life is all about, right? Well, I'm not sure when was the last time I spoke, but I don't really like public speaking. Just to throw that out there. But people apparently tell me that I'm good, I'm funny, and all that funny stuff. So I guess I can do it this morning too. So we'll see how that goes. I have a story to share with you. Are you ready for a story? Good. I like stories. And you received a little thing when you walked in, and we're gonna go through this fill-in sheet as we go along. But people always ask me, so David, what's the one thing that you always struggle with? Like, what's the thing that you kind of like, you know, you seem so perfect and you got it all together, and you know, you have a perfect life, perfect wife, kids, family, everything is kind of like figured out. And people always ask me, like, so what's your thing that you're struggling with? And it doesn't take me too much to think about it, actually. One thing that I struggle with the most, and because we're all friends and you can know, is pride. And I think most of us in this room have, at one point in our life, struggled with this same thing called pride. Now, there's different kinds of prides and different levels of pride. But just to share just a funny story, it just happened recently. I'm not sure if you remember. I was just over the past few weeks. If you go back, I had my foot was kind of crooked. Well, not really the foot. I was playing a basketball. Okay, I love sports. Now, I was playing basketball a few weeks back, and actually they have this little league at the Rim Park. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. They have all kinds of different leagues, and you can either play basketball or volleyball or whatever, different nights of the week, and just compete. And at the end, you know, if you win, you get a special prize, which is just a title. So I have not played basketball in a long time. And that's probably because I've gotten busy with life and everything else. But my wife was like, David, I think you should do it. You know, it was over the winter, and they have usually fall and winter. So it was over the winter. I was like, well, Tuesday nights, late night, might as well just get in shape and just go back to what I used to love doing when I was younger. So playing basketball, playing soccer, that's all the sports that I love. So she encouraged me. I went. And I was surprised how good I was. After so many years of not playing, I was actually surprised. I could pass the ball, I could run, I could hustle. I did all the, you know, you watch TV, you watch NBA, you watch all these stars playing basketball, and I was surprised. Like I was pretty good. And we were actually so good. We made this team out of just friends that I know from the city. We were so good that Tuesday after Tuesday, we kept on winning. I mean, the other guys were not that bad. But we just kept on winning and kept on winning. And I think out of the season, which was the whole winter, we had out of 20 games, we had like maybe two or three lost games, which was crazy. So we finally somehow make it to the finals. I don't know how. We made it to the finals, and we are facing this team that just doesn't know, they just don't miss. Okay, these guys are just like level, like we're here, and they're level above everybody else at the Rim Park. So we're like, okay, well, we can take these guys. It's going to be good, you know. And my wife hasn't shown up to any of my games yet. Okay, so it was a sad moment, but I could have done whatever I wanted. But now my wife is like, wow, you guys are in the finals. I'm coming. I'm like, yes. So she's coming to watch me, and I'm like, yes. So this is gonna be a good time for me to show off. It's gonna be, you know, I mean, not only you know in front of my wife, but just in general, just show off how good I am and all that kind of stuff. So this is exactly what happened. I don't know if I talked to some of you about what happened to that evening when I played basketball, but this is what happened. I usually start off on a bench, you know, just to kind of warm up and see what these guys are up to and who's good and who's bad. And you know, when first person comes to when there's a time for me to go in, which is usually about 5 minutes in the game, into the game, and literally this is what happened. A guy comes down. I'm like just waiting just to get in. And we're losing. I think we were losing like for but just by a few points. I'm like, yeah, so now when I get in, it's going to just go up. It's going to be good. We're going to be good, right? Honestly, this is what I thought. I'm going to make this game better. So I go in onto the court, and I start running. And literally, this was the first pass, okay? I just run to the basket, our basket. And I jump. I jump so high just to get this ball. I was so into it. I jump, and as I was landing down, that was the first pass, I just land on my right foot. As I was landing, I landed really, really bad. So bad that my ankle just got strained right there, right in the spot. I couldn't move. I had tears in my eyes. I just could not move. I actually thought I broke it. It was so bad. And people are like, they're just playing, and I'm like, oh, and my wife is over there, like, she's looking at me, she's like, what happened, what's going on? I'm like, I can't move. Anyway, that was it for me for that evening. It was first pass, I went to the bench, and I was just watching him lose. I was just, man, what was that? What just happened? I couldn't move. Next morning, I go into the doctor's. I couldn't walk for like 2 days. And thankfully, nothing was broken. It was just a really bad strain. But I've never had this kind of strain in my life. It was just painful. As painful as it gets. If you ever experience something like that, it's terrible. So, and I was thinking back, actually, as we were driving back home, my wife is like, yeah, you were so excited, and you wanted to get in, and all that stuff, and that kind of, you know, brings people down when they're so prideful. I'm like, yeah, you're right. That's exactly what happened. I didn't even know it. It was sort of like blindsided me, but I was just pumped up and prideful, and it's about me. This game is not going to make it if I'm not in it, and all that kind of stuff. And I was thinking to myself, man, this is one thing that it came out again. I mean, it comes out once in a while, comes out, and it was just there then, and I paid big time. About 2 weeks, I was just walking like a truck hit me, and thankfully God healed me afterwards. But that's just a simple story, just to kind of share my heart with you, and what it is, what happens to us when we have pride. And here's one thing I want to leave with you. If there's one sentence, okay, this is it. Having pride will set you up for destruction. Now this is from the Bible, and it actually a verse that I want to share with you is from Proverbs 16:18. This is what it says. I love this translation from the Message. It says, first pride, then the crash. So just go to the next slide. First pride, then the crash. That's exactly what happened to me. Pride, then I crashed. And I crashed really bad. And the bigger the ego, the harder the fall. So we're talking about a pride that has ego to it, okay? Something that has to do with in our life when we think it's about us. And it pretty much goes with like that with anything in our life. See, according to the scriptures, if we read the Bible and see where the sin came from, we can look back into the Old Testament and see in Isaiah that Lucifer, who was a the glorious one in heaven, he had the same attitude in his heart, and he told himself that he wants to be like God. And then, of course, as we read on, he got cast out of heaven, and he rebelled, and his name was the Resister, the devil, and he's present even today, and he's resisting God and his plan. Here's a little quote I want to share with you. Most of the trouble in the world is caused by people wanting to be important. So there's just stages in the Bible that if we just look back, first there was a sin of pride that originated in Lucifer. Then it went into creation. God created the world, and we had Adam that was created from the dust. And then there was the fall again. Adam fell. He was tempted by Satan. That the same sin that he committed, he wanted Adam to commit. And that's exactly what happened. Adam fell. Then Jesus came. And Jesus redeemed us because he took a form of a servant and became humble. So running through this entire with creatures, we see this one principle throughout the Bible, is that God exalts those that are humble, and God opposes those that are proud. If we look in Matthew 23:12, Jesus is speaking of pride as well. And this is what Jesus says: "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." So as we see, the essential nature of sin that Adam fell in was one that Satan himself fell in as well. And the motivation was the same kind. It was this: I want to be like God. When Satan came to Adam and Eve, he said, "You can be like God. You don't need God. Just go ahead and eat of the fruit from the tree, and you're gonna see things differently." So here's the definition of pride, and you have it in your fill-ins. This is what pride is, simply stated. Pride is seeking to be independent of God. So seeking to be independent of God. So this has not to do with being against God, that God is not there, and has nothing to do with whether God exists or not. It just has to do with completely just being wanting to live a life of independence of God. Now, how many of you know that we as people are called to live independence of God? We're actually called to live together with God, to seek God daily for our strength, for our wisdom, for our power. As the main source, He's our source of everything that we have. He's our source. And when you look through your own life, if you look at pride and the situations that you've been through, you can see that pride is almost it's putting God on the side and saying, "I'm important, and I don't care about what God has to say or God has to." God wills. It's about what I want and what I will. That's what pride is. And I want to share a tragic story with you for the next few minutes about a gentleman from the Old Testament. His name was Uzziah. How many of you have heard of King Uzziah? Okay, so King Uzziah was a guy that came after David and Solomon, and the story is found in 2 Chronicles 26. Now, we can't read everything, but I just want to share a few verses with you. So if we can just read this from 2 Chronicles 26, I'm going to read the verses 4 and 5, and then I'm going to just jump to 16, okay? So this is verses 4 and 5. Actually, let's start at 3. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was whatever. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, okay? According to all that his father Amaziah had done, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, this is what he says, God made him prosper. So as long as Uzziah was seeking God, he was prosperous. Now let's just jump to the verse 16. Now there's a lot of accomplishments in between. We're going to talk about that in a second. But this is what verse 16 says. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah, the priest, went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the son of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord, beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead, he was leprous. So they thrust him out of the place. Indeed, he was hurt to get out because the Lord had struck him. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the act of Uzziah was... verse 23, so Uzziah rested with the fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of burial, which belonged to the kings, for they said, "He's a leper." Then Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. So, how many of you sitting here today would like to finish well? How many of you would like to finish well, go get to the end of your life and look back and say, "You know, I've done well"? We all want to do that, right? I think we all do. So here's a few things that got into his way, into Uzziah's way as he was reigning. If you read this, I'd encourage you to study this chapter at home when you have time. He was really prosperous. He became a king when he was only 16. So after David and Solomon, he was one of the most known kings because there's so many things that he has accomplished along with conquering, taking the land back to what was Judah's. He had some inventions. He came up with his own things. Everybody loved him. Everybody praised him. He was one of the most known kings. And all that came because he was seeking God first. But the problem with Uzziah was he failed to finish well. He failed to finish well. You see, I want each and every one of us in this room to finish well. I want us all to come to the end of our life and look back and say, "I have done well." So here's just three things I want to share with you about things that were traps for Uzziah and that brought him back to destruction, his own life. Three things that he was probably blindsided, he didn't really realize, but he took it as his own and simply just failed. He just simply failed. So here is just, as we follow along, I have prideful trap 1, 2, and 3 in your bulletins. So here's number one. Prosperity. Now, prosperity is when we have things, when we are blessed, and there's things that we own, there's things that we have, and that God has blessed us with, and oftentimes we look to that and we say, "Wow, this is good, and this is all part of my effort, and this is what I've accomplished." And oftentimes we rely on those things. We as people, we have a tendency to rely on those things. So the first prideful trap that will keep you from finishing well is your prosperity. See, we sometimes we have this strange idea of prosperity. We say, "Well, We almost look at it something that God owes us. You know, if we do step A, B, and C, God is just gonna bless us with prosperity. We're gonna have things, and yes, prosperity is a blessing from God. Having and owning things is a blessing from God. But did you also know that can be a test from God? God can actually test us with this. So by the time he was 16, he was the most powerful man in Judah, Uzziah. He was successful in foreign affairs. He was successful with Philistines. He conquered the Philistines again. He was known for his buildings, for the economy, the beauty, the luxury, for all the stuff that he owned. He even invented catapults. So he was extremely prosperous. If you think of an inventor today, one guy that comes to my mind is a guy that started this company called Tesla, and it's all electric. This is the future. He's really prosperous, but this guy, Uzziah, was just like that, an inventor that had it all. But this prosperity that he had went from being just a test of God to becoming a trap that he got stuck in. Now, if we look at our own life, how has God blessed us? What do we have? What do we own? Has God given you something? We have to praise God first for it. And then as we praise God, we have to pass the test. Which means, don't believe that you had anything to do with it. You see, when we start believing that it's all because of us, because of our ability and our gifts and talents and what we've accomplished, then we're getting ourselves into a big trap, prideful trap. Don't fall into this trap that says your prosperity is because of you. It's because of God. And when you're obedient to God, he will enable you to be content without reveling in it. He will enable you and he'll help you understand that this is what God has given you. And there's reasons why he gave you all that you have and own. God wants us to be content. And that's the first attitude that will crush every prideful attitude that we might have in our life, is being content. That's the one thing that I love about myself. If I can take pride in something personally, is I'm content with things. I was having a conversation with my wife the other day, and I said, you know what, I can live on just one jeans and one t-shirt for months. And then she goes, well, as long as you're my husband, it's not going to happen. So for me, being content about that is completely fine. Now, there's a lot of people that are not content. They just want more and more and more and more. And then if people want more, they get stuck into more and they get overwhelmed. And then they slowly become drawn away from God because they put their trust more into their things than into God. So this is the first thing that happened to Uzziah. He was so prosperous that he just didn't care. He just thought this was all his accomplishment. This is all he did. Which leads us to another prideful trap that we can get caught in. And that is fame. So prideful trap number two is fame, which is popularity. Now, when I ask younger people, youth, what do they want to become when they grow up? And they always say, I want to be famous. I want to be popular. Now, being famous is not for everyone, okay? And being famous is actually really, really hard. I don't even know how these guys do it, people that are famous. I don't even know how famous preachers do it. Famous worship leaders, famous this and that. It's so hard. But in Proverbs 18:16, this is the verse that I want to share with you. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Now, in our little circles, we might not be famous to the world, but with our gifting, people look up to us, and we're leaders. And whether it's in a family, community, a workplace, or a church, when we have giftings, people look up to us, and they think we're more popular than others. People think that I'm more popular than someone else because I can play guitar and sing. That's not the case. I'm no more popular than you sitting in a pew. You're probably more popular than me. See, this is what happened with Uzziah. He started reading his own press, if we can put it that way, and he started seeing his name was everywhere. If you read this chapter fully, you're going to see that everybody, all the kings, all the queens, everybody knew about Uzziah because he was so popular. Every magazine, every newspaper, everybody talked about this guy. And then what happened? His VIP status just got to his head, and he thought that he was something. Now, how many of you know that the moment we start thinking that we are something in God's eyes, we're not anything? You know, that's the one thing that God is not lover of people that, God loves everyone. Okay, let's just put that out there. But God is saddened when he sees people taking a position and saying, oh, it's about me, I'm famous. And God is sad when he sees people pointing to themselves instead of pointing to him. Okay, it's okay to be famous and popular, even in the world, but as long as you're pointing people to God. If you keep pointing people to yourself and you think it's about yourself and it's about what I've done, what I've accomplished, then you're setting yourself up for a destruction. Now, destruction could be, it could be in family, it could be in relationships, it could be in career, whatever the destruction might mean for you. But as soon as you get that prideful attitude, you know, it's about me and it's about me being famous and me being something and someone, that's when things will start going downhill. That's what happened to Uzziah. Instead of humbly deferring all the glory to God, what did he do? He started to believe that he was the one responsible for what God was doing in Judah. He thought that, you know, he just started enjoying people looking up to him and talking about him. The trap was there and he fell in it. I had a conversation with one of the guys that I always meet and talk about, John. Actually, you guys know John Tador. And we had a conversation about these popular pastors and how they're so known and everybody talks about them. And I'm thinking, we had a conversation and I told him, I would never ever want to be a popular pastor or something that, where people look up, people read my books. And because we fall into, young people, our generation, it's so easy to fall into that trap and just talk about a person instead of talking about Jesus and God. And we've actually caught ourselves a few times talking about this person and how this pastor is so amazing and how this worship leader is amazing. They're doing so well. And just not actually even realizing that it's not about them. It's not about them. It's not about people. It's about God. And that's what we need to realize. We need to always, no matter what position you're in, popularity you're in, whether it's in your relationships or people look up to you in different areas, you just always have to remember, point people to God, not to yourself. That's where the blessing is. And here's a trap number three that Uzziah got carried away in is position. Now, he kind of inherited this from his father. He was in a position. He was a king. But the problem with Uzziah in here, if you look at here, is he was a king, but he wasn't a priest. And as we read from the verse 16, this is what happened. He thought highly of himself. He thought, you know what? I'm a king. I can do whatever I want. So he went in to do something that he wasn't supposed to do. He went into the temple to burn the incense, and he just thought it was another worship service. It's fine, I can do whatever I want. And these priests, they started running in. They said, no, you can't do it. You're not appointed. You're not called. This is not what you're supposed to do. And he was getting angry with them. And we saw what happened there. He became a leper. Just there in the temple, he got sick. And they had to carry him away. At that time, if you're a leper, you just got put in a room and you just can't be around people. It was a disgrace. So, see, God is calling us to be humble, just like Jesus was humble. God wants you and me to be just like Jesus. And the perfect example of humility is always found in Jesus. Because he, as we read in the Bible, he stripped himself of some of the divinity and he became a servant, a humble servant to everyone in his time. That's what God wants for us. Now, do you show pride in maybe your position, homework? Now, there's a difference between being prideful in things that we've accomplished and that we've done, having self-confidence. There's a difference between that and there's a difference between a pride where we think we're something. Okay? There's a difference there. I just want you to draw that difference. So God doesn't want us to exclude him. God wants us to have him included in our life and give him honor and glory for everything that we have accomplished, everything that we, whatever we are in our position in our life, God wants us to give him glory. Okay? And God wants us to see him as the source of our prosperity, of the blessings, of the test, whatever we have, God is the source. So each day of our lives, we have a choice to make. When we wake up in the morning, this is a choice that we can make. We can either submit to God and do his will, or we can just go on our will and revel and just be prideful about our life, what we've accomplished and what we have and our position and all that stuff. And I just want to point out three things out of these three events that I mentioned. I mentioned the fall of Lucifer, Satan. I mentioned the fall of Adam and Eve, which was the second fall. It was the same fall, prideful fall. And I mentioned the Uzziah. So there's three stories that I share with you about what pride does to people and angels. Lucifer was an angel. But this is what happened. The first fall, what happened? It says that Lucifer fell, and he was cast out of the presence of God. Okay? Second fall, Adam fell, and he was cast out of the presence of God too. Right? And there was a third fall, which was Uzziah, I just mentioned. What happened to him? He was in a temple. He became a leper. He got cast out of the presence. He wasn't actually even allowed to enter temple anymore because of his sickness. And this leads us there's a little fill-in right after these three prideful traps. This is the fill-in. Pride will cast you out from the presence of God. Sorry for my grammar, but that's basically what I want to communicate to you. When you have pride, you're going to cut off the connection that you have with God. It will put you in a position where God's presence will not be around. This is what Augustine said. It was pride that changed angels into devils. And it is humility that makes men as angels. So, don't think for one second that success that we have in positions and fame and all that stuff is because we are something. We need to give all the glory to God. That's what the Bible teaches us. That's what the Christian life is all about. And if you want to live a really true Christian life successfully, you have to just follow the pattern of Jesus and what he did. And this is what Jesus did. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. And he was led as a, what does it say there in Isaiah? He was led as a lamb to a slaughter. He humbled himself, and he was led to a slaughter. So, 1 Peter 5:6, I just want to close with this. verse leave you with. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. If you humble yourself, and if you give glory to God, God will lift you up in a due time. It might not even be in this time and age, but He will lift you up. And you will be known. It is so hard. It's probably one of the hardest. And I'm still struggling with it myself. When I accomplish something, when I do something, I still struggle with it myself. And that's why I shared it with you. I shared my heart with you so that you know that pride is something that is we so easily fall into because it's just a sinful nature that we carry. But God's nature in us is stronger. All we need to do is just submit and willingly make a choice. We have to stop. We have to quit praying about God to give us a humble heart. We just have to choose to be humble. You know, in relationships, if I'm arguing with someone, if I'm arguing with my wife, it's because I'm prideful. If I'm angry with her, it's because I'm prideful. It's just a simple choice that you have to make and say, you know what? I'm going to be humble. I'm going to say, you know what? Okay, you're right, even though you think she's not or he's not right, right? You're right. Let's just be humble. Let's just be loving, and let's just see how we can find a common ground. That's what God wants for all of us. He wants us to be humble, and He wants us to give Him glory for everything. Why don't we just all stand? And what I want to do, I just want to close in a simple prayer. And you know, oftentimes I'm myself blindsided by this issue, and oftentimes I'm thinking to myself, and sometimes I think I know more than other people do, and sometimes we think that we're better than someone else. We think that we are more. We're smarter, we're more successful, we have a better position, we're this. It's not about that. It's about God. It's about Jesus. It's about lifting God up. It's about giving Him praise, giving Him honor. So today, if you're going through something in your life and there's some maybe even situations and there's some relationships where you recognize that you are, you know, you're more pride on a prideful side. Why don't we all just give it all to God this morning? Can we do that this morning? Just give it all to God and say, you know what, God, it's not about me, it's about you. It's not about what I have done, what I've accomplished. It's about what you are doing through me. That's what it's about. So let me just close our eyes and just say a simple prayer. And if you want to be included in this prayer, you can just lift your hand. I'm just going to pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your loving kindness towards us. Thank you, God, Jesus, that you showed us a way. You've showed us what it means to be humble, what it means to walk in humility. So, Father, this morning, we just submit to you. We submit to you all of the attitudes of our heart. And Father, you see everything. You see every single attitude that we have. And those prideful attitudes and those places in our hearts, in our lives that we maybe are not aware of even right now, Father God, I pray that you make us aware of those. And I pray, Father God, that you would just remove those things from our life, Father God. We wanna be more used by you, Jesus. But in order for us to be used by you, we need to remove the pride. And we need to make you to be a Lord and Savior of our lives, Father God. So we make you, Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior this morning. We submit to you. We submit to your leadership, to your will, to your guidance. And Father God, we want you to be the one who is going to lead us. Father God, we want to finish well. We want to live this life and finish well, being submitted to you, to your will, to your plan for our life. In the name of Jesus, we commit to you this morning. We give you all the praise, all the honor and thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. you are dismissed. If you like a prayer, just come up forward. There's going to be a prayer team here. Hope you have a wonderful Sunday. Bless you.